Shop the Sherwin-Williams Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains September 19th through the 24th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Emochi moment from Mark, who writes, I just want to thank you for making GLP-1s affordable. What would have been over $1,000 a month is just $99 a month with Mochi. Money shouldn't be a barrier to healthy weight. 3 months in, and I have smaller jeans and a bigger wallet. You're the best. Thanks, Mark. I'm Myra Ahmed, founder of Mochi Health. To find your Mochi moment, visit joinmochi.com.
Mark is a Mochi member compensated for his story.
As if they don't have too much on their plates, the Kings of Combat Sports podcast, John and Wade, they talk about the things they did that day. They'll analyze the work of Triple H.
We want to smack down.
That is right, everybody. 2 hours to get you ready for dozens of hours this week of professional wrestling.
You're exaggerating with dozens, okay? But are we that far off? Can you count them?
How many hours? Well, we've got 13 matches at AEW plus five from WWE. So that brings us to 18. With CMLL, that takes us to 26 matches.
I thought you said hours. Dozens of matches.
Dozens of matches is what I meant. Well, I mean, none of these shows have ended yet. I mean, do you really want to put a stamp on not making that plural? I mean, Who knows how long All Out goes? Wrestlepalooza could just be an all-night affair. We could go till Sunday morning. It could lead them into NFL Sunday.
Yeah, 36 hours, 48 hours, bring it on.
Why not? All right, final call for all of you. All Ooters, as we will be welcoming you at Gabby's on Saturday morning at 11:30 a.m., 309 King Street West. No cover to get in. Just go give Braden Harrington a big thumbs up, and he will let you in. We're going to have wrestling music, angering people out for their Saturday morning coffee and walking their dogs, drink specials from the bar of Davey Portman, wrestling-themed prizes, and getting everyone set for a big day of professional wrestling. If you're out of town and coming by, it's a very short walk to the Scotiabank Arena. It will get you plenty of time to get over there for the tailgate brawl that I know so many people will want to be in their seats for, as Daniel Garcia takes on Katsuyori Shibata.
How crazy. Walking from Gabby's on King Street to go see Katsuyori Shibata in a kickoff match. It's wild. I wish I could be there. I'm so sorry.
Well, everyone is going to be encouraged to take photos and then tag Wei on Instagram. Okay, that's Wei will get to enjoy in spirit as he is. Man, how is your day shaping up? How are you attacking these shows? Do you know yet?
I'm going to be watching All Out.
We could live stream for you.
I might watch Wrestlepalooza on the same night, but I mean, it'll determine how far I get with All Out. I mean, I'm probably going to have to split All Out throughout the day myself. So we will get the shows watched, and we will be back here on Sunday at some point, John and I together, talking about both shows.
Yes. Pay attention to, we'll get an announcement out of when we go live on Sunday, but you'll be getting a show Sunday. Okay, let's dive into SmackDown. This was the go-home show for Wrestlepalooza, last number 6,719 from WrestleTix at the Huntington Center in Toledo, Ohio. And Michael Cole is with Corey Graves and has been summoned to go interview Brock Lesnar backstage. So as he gets up to leave, Lesnar makes his entrance and just picks up Michael Cole and just ragdolls this guy around the ring and throws him into the ring. The whole crowd is chanting Cena, not realizing Toledo ain't on Cena's farewell list of tour dates. Graves is concerned for Michael Cole, and in comes Corey, and he ends up eating an F5 from Lesnar. Now, I believe outside of that 24/7 title win, I think this is the only physicality they have done with Corey Graves since his retirement.
Even with the 24/7 title win, I don't recall him taking an actual bump.
He was a schoolboy. Yeah. But it was just, that was the note that, like, that spurred on the fact that he actually had gone through the clearance process. And because when you are on the no contact list, it means no contact. And yeah, this was, there were no bumps in that 24/7 deal.
No, he was not. So, I mean, this was very significant and provided something shocking for this go-home segment to see Corey Graves, somebody who basically has not been attacked, you know, throughout, when did he retire? It's been 10 years.
2014.
Holy shit, yeah, has not been attacked in 11 years, taking physicality and, you know, two F5s at that. So, does it spell for more in the future? Was this a tease of something else? I mean, that remains to be seen, but tonight it had a really special effect, yes.
So then Lesnar screams into the camera that he's coming for Cena and he's coming for blood, grabs the steps to scare off the officials, and then hits Graves with a second F5. And the crowd cheers and they chant one more time, which Lesnar does not acquiesce to and walks out. And I was just amazed that this was scripted and we had last week to contrast. Like, what different segments we had involving Brock Lesnar, one with R-Truth doing improv, and then we had this one, like, murdering a guy in Corey Graves as our setup.
I mean, they clearly learned from last week, I would think. I mean, unless they had a second R-Truth segment planned. I mean, last week was largely similar in that, like, they wanted, you know, us to feel sympathy for him attacking R-Truth. They just, that was fine in and of itself. They just happened to lead up to that moment with some of the worst comedy that I think we've seen anybody attempt. And I know R-Truth is supposed to be ironically comedic, but somebody like Brock Lesnar shouldn't be anywhere near that sort of comedy. And I also think they learned, never give Brock Lesnar a mic. I don't know how many times they need to learn that lesson, but they had to learn again yesterday, and this week they did not. He was teased for an interview, came out, F5'd the announcer instead, and then just screamed something to Cena in the camera, and that was about all you needed to sort of protect the aura of Brock Lesnar.
And his pants held up this week.
He must have had double reinforced pants. Yeah, I thought it was a fine way to promote the match strictly based off of Brock's physicality. And, you know, Brock was cheered as a babyface here, but I also don't think it's one of those areas where they mind. Because they're probably just happy with any reaction that isn't related to, at this point, we don't even need to speak about, like, whether or not he's been accepted back into this world because of, you know, any sort of allegations. Like,
let's be honest, he was accepted back the second he showed up at SummerSlam. I don't think the reaction was going to at all be altered by that. And it's just,
and if there was, all it took was a few F5s and this audience was cheering for him. Like, he was a massive baby fish.
Yeah. I mean, you can, like, it was interesting. Like, it was brought up on the ESPN media call, and, like, the ESPN side was just, listen, like, we don't deal with the creative. We don't get involved with that stuff. It's like, they present us the product and we run it. And, like, you're not going to be seeing, I wouldn't expect, like, an ESPN, like, news to be covering that aspect either. I mean, that's just the way things are. And, I mean, it was not a big risk for WWE to make this move, because I think they were very confident this was going to be the reaction, and this was not going to come with any kind of risk attached to it. And it bared itself out, and you can agree or disagree with that, but I can't say anyone was surprised the night of SummerSlam that was going to be the outcome here.
Could you see? So we've seen Brock in these sort of short spurts. Being in an actual match could be somewhat different in that it just kind of, you know, gives like a prolonged exposure for crowds, potentially rebellious creative crowds to get creative with their chants. Can you see anything different for the match itself?
So, I mean, like, I can't get into the mind of fans, but, like, I found like the fuck you Brock chants last week. Like, I don't even know, like, how can we decipher, like, what is, like, what would be that chant that would elicit that kind of belief that there is a rebellion against the utilization of this performer. Like, again, you're not getting a Janelle Grant chant. It's like, F you, Brock. It's like, you could read into that, but that's not clear evidence of an audience that is, like, refusing. Like, ultimately, it would just be, I don't know. It's like,
Nothing about Indianapolis like jumps out to me that like they would do something like a Janelle Grant chant. But there are certain pockets in this world where I could see a chant like that happening.
Yeah. I mean, it hasn't been brought up yet, but I mean, Disney is under like an enormous cloud this week. And again, I don't feel like that is going to be something that prevents any
Disney Plus.
WWE fans from signing up for ESPN Plus. Yeah. But it's like you're seeing a lot of people that the only power they have is canceling their Disney Plus subscription. Like that's the only power they have. And you're seeing a lot of that. Like Disney has come off like horribly this week. We just add that to the list of like things going into this WWE ESPN era. Again, I do not feel that's going to be a barrier for WWE fans that want to watch this show, but it is another thing that's at least worth acknowledging going into this weekend.
I guess I wonder if how much of like the audience is even aware of the ABC Disney ESPN connection. Like it doesn't really feel like ESPN has been mentioned as part of like this movement to boycott Disney and Disney Plus. So I think they'll escape fine.
You are right. It like connected. It's more so on the like Disney Plus seems to be like that is where people are protesting and showing their screenshots of unsubscribing and stuff. So,
but they make money off of ESPN the same. So
they do. Like it's absolutely people. Like it's all one and the same. Mm-hmm. Lesnar is shown leaving the arena, and this is where he walks into Paul Heyman with Bron Breakker and Bronson Reed, and Lesnar tells Heyman, "We should talk." Heyman just realizing you can't cancel this guy, right?
Clearly not. No.
Yeah,
you cannot. This was interesting in that obviously you had Bron Breakker also in the shot, so like our first on screen face to face, even if it wasn't much between Brock Lesnar and Bron Breakker, who have been somewhat linked as like similar archetypes, with Paul Heyman caught in between. I mean that poses something very interesting, certainly, right? And you can potentially see certainly a destination for the future for both men.
Braun Brock,
yes. Okay.
So Heyman is then warned by Nick Aldis not to get involved tonight because you guys aren't SmackDown guys, we realized midway through this segment. But Heyman said they were here to broker peace with the Usos, but they are in Indianapolis doing PR, so they're just going to sit back and enjoy the show. And he praises Aldis as the greatest GM of all time. Michael Cole is all by himself. I thought he sold this really well. He was just like aghast at what had happened. The fans are chanting Michael Cole's name. It says, "I've been doing this a long time. I have never felt as helpless as I did tonight."
It's been a while, I suppose.
Like John Heidenreich, right?
Right. Yes. Yes.
And
pretty sure he's been beaten up by Brock Lesnar before, has he not?
Yeah, that show we were at, the San Jose Raw.
Yeah, so. Yeah.
He was more helpless tonight because he was just carried around the ring like, it was like show and tell.
He should have said, "Not since Heidenreich." It pushed me against the wall and just whispered those memorable words in my ear. Have I ever felt so helpless?
Yeah, I mean.
Should have said that.
That was, I don't know what was going through his mind. Maybe, I hope I live to see the run of Triple Tails if I can survive this. And he's worried what awaits. My friend John. They're back. They're friends again. They buried the hatchet too.
Everybody has a bad day.
Cole too. They bygones be bygones.
Pro savings days are back at Lowe's. MyLowe's Pro Rewards members save even more with limited-time doorbuster deals. Save $5 on 24-count Contractor's Choice 42-gallon trash bags, now just $14.78. Plus, get your choice select DeWalt Elite Series saw blades for $9.98. Not a Pro Rewards member? Join for free today at Lowe's. Valid through 9/17. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
This month on the Post Wrestling Cafe, we're going back to November of 1995 as Rewind Away takes a look at the Survivor Series featuring Diesel defending the WWF Championship against Bret Hart. We'll also have weekly editions of Collision Course with the carousel of co-hosts joining Kate from Montreal, reviews of TNA Victory Road, New Japan's Destruction in Kobe, and it is the Ask Away Mailbag Show as John and Way answer your questions all this month at postwrestlingcafe.com. Charlotte Flair and Alexa Bliss against Chelsea Green and Elba Fire, one of two title matches on the show for the women's tag belts. And The Miz joins Michael Cole. So, man, the additions to our commentary booths, The Miz and Daniel Bryan after all this time.
Very interesting.
Who did you prefer, Way, this week?
Well, listen, it really is apples and oranges, isn't it? I thought The Miz like made sense, you know, as a candidate to like be on the ladder of like, you know, potential.
That's the criteria. Make sense.
He makes more sense than Manny.
Booker T?
Like, yeah, made more sense than Booker T, honestly. Like, Miz is somebody who's very, well-spoken and very witty and quick, as we've seen on Talking Smack and things like that. So it made sense that, you know, you could audition him in this situation. I'm sure he's done little bits of commentary in the past, but tonight actually really did feel like a bigger audition of sorts.
So they get the heat on Alexa Bliss, and Green runs into the corner with her shoulder. Bliss makes the tag to Charlotte. Michael Cole then brings up, this is the first time this year the women's tag titles have been defended on SmackDown. That one blew me away more than Toa having his first singles match in a year and a half.
What was this, mainly like a Raw thing? Was it mainly a PLE thing or just a non-existent thing?
I think more of a non-existent thing. We don't exactly have a thriving division that we have the utilization of too many title matches, but that's wild. It's September. Green stops Flair's moonsault, and then Fire connects with a swanton. Green gets the two count as Bliss is in for the save, and then Charlotte Flair went for a double chop block to the knees. Not exactly smooth. And then they hit a double natural selection onto the challengers, with Flair getting the pinfall in 8 minutes and 7 seconds, retaining the titles. And I look forward to next year's women's tag title match on SmackDown.
Yeah, yeah. Tune in next September for the next one. Honestly, I felt pretty distracted by like Cole and just the whole thing, like, because Cole on commentary was really trying to sell just the after effects of the Corey Graves attack, and I've kind of felt like the match while watching it was a bit of an afterthought to all of that.
I can see that. I also feel that you did have to sell this attack for rather than he just snaps back into it. And let's be honest, like, that angle superseded this match. So I do understand that and doing that.
I mean, just unfortunate that, like, your first SmackDown Women's Tag Team match on
bad timing
year had to basically serve as wallpaper for the angle.
B-Fab is with the Street Profits and explained that brothers sometimes don't see eye to eye. You guys have to get past this if you want to get your tag titles back. And then Meechan interrupts. She needs B-Fab to go speak to Nick Aldis. And Ford just tells Dawkins, we'll always be good. And they shake hands. And we see Ford leave the scene, and Bo Dallas appears and is trying to get into the head of Dawkins that Ford doesn't want to hear what you have to say. But Ford has obviously not left. He's only around the corner and can hear all of this. And he comes back, putting Dallas up against the wall. And then comes Eric Rowan with his trusty mallet. And the images here don't do this justice of how the Street Profits sold these mallet shots. I thought that I had screwed up the speed on my video because Dawkins fell down like 1/10 of the speed. And then Ford just, like, they fell in the most awkward fashion. I rewatched this. I was like, what was this?
I mean, I guess they don't teach mallet selling at wrestling school in the PC.
I also couldn't watch that mallet with any degree of seriousness because all I can look at and that mallet is think of like a plastic mallet that we once had to use that weigh nothing, and that took out these two individuals.
It was also a very, very awkward space here. Like, it's a very tight hallway, and they had to bump in a way that still kept their bodies in this shot, right? So, I mean, what resulted was this.
Yes.
It's not a great feud so far. I mean, they're trying a whole lot to sell us on the Street Profits tension, and I just don't even know what they're really fighting about.
There's not getting along. I mean, teammates don't get along in this industry.
Like, after. Was it just like a, did they attack each other? Was it just it within a match? Like, was that it? I mean, they lost the championships, or did they?
I mean, they did have the belts a while ago, but
yeah. Okay, whatever. I feel very uninterested in this feud, and I just, the Wyatts continue to be reduced to these like very generic, you know, Halloween haunted house characters without, to me, a whole lot to get invested in.
And then R-Truth is situated at the ESPN merchandise stand. I would imagine when he came back, this is what he envisioned, okay? As Ron Killings.
And, I would rather Ron sell me on the ESPN app. You imagine that?
And what if I already got ESPN with my cable? If you already got ESPN with your cable, go to your cable login. And you said, dog, it's right in the app. See, most big providers already got that taken care of. So you go in and you watch it. Okay. There you go, scan.
Truth.
Yeah.
What if I don't have cable?
He got you. Touché!
Holy shit. Wow.
But if you've got Comcast or YouTube TV, you're fucked.
I know these were meant to be like somewhat tongue-in-cheek, much in the way of like, you know, DX trying to like sell WWE merch stuff. But God, were they unbearable. Like, I wouldn't be so upset about it if I felt they were effective. I felt it was completely, like, ineffective. And I think most egregiously, did nothing to even let the audience in on the idea that they had to pay extra to sign up for this thing. They're scared to death
to say that. I mean, yeah. And you could also argue that, I mean, when they had to sell pay-per-views, like, granted, carriers might have different amounts, but, like, it was explicit that,
but it's in the name.
It costs you money. Exactly. Like, it was very upfront. I don't think this is at all transparent. If anything, I mean, you go from Joe Tessitore on Raw, who said, if you've got ESPN, no problem. You've got it. And now they're kind of, well most providers already have it set up. Well, a lot don't. Like, Comcast and YouTube TV, that's over 20 million cable subscribers right there, okay? That's a big amount, and that's not even all of them. As Cody will later list us, all the carriers that do provide the app if you subscribe.
Never mind that, though, okay? You can argue maybe they could get away with that, but you had Humberto here explicitly say, I don't have cable, what do I do? And the words of R-Truth throughout both segments were, simply download the app, sign up for it, and you're in. Sign up for ESPN Unlimited. Sign up being just their way of saying pay for it without actually saying pay for it. They're letting people think that, oh, I just give my email and I get to watch this thing for free. Zero mention. And I understand it's going to be very difficult getting people who have been used to paying $10 a month for these PLEs to suddenly pay $30 again, but you still have to do your... You still have to let people know. They're just letting people find out, and they will find out tomorrow.
We're going to take a bite of both parts of the apple.
So Breaker and Reed then come out, and they destroy Fraxium as Heyman joins him in the ring to address the Usos. But then Fraxium, instead of just being a cannon fodder, actually come back and lay out Reed and Breaker and hit these incredible dives, including one where Axiom was going like a million miles an hour and did a flip through the ropes to the floor. All this comes out, and guess what? It's a show in flux, and we've got room for a tag match. And I was not complaining about this. Bron Breakker and Bronson Reed against Fraxium. And unfortunately, there was a commercial break in the middle of this 6.5 minutes, but I thought this was such a fun match. This was like watching a Steiners match out of 1990 WCW programming, where they got like two job guys that were just going to bump all over the place for the monsters. This one did not disappoint. So Fraser, who I swear to God, this guy works so fast. It was just incredible to watch. He gets out of the way of an avalanche from Reed and then manages a frog splash
Phoenix Splash misses, and then Reed does a pop-up into the jagged edge, goes for the tsunami, Axiom stops him on top, and then gets shoved off the top, where Braun appears out of nowhere and hits him with a spear in mid-air as he's shoved off, and then followed by the tsunami as Reed pins Fraser. I love this. I had so much fun watching this match. I would be fine with Braun and Braun having a best of seven series with Fraxium, and they can win every one of them.
It was a great showcase for the Vision if your intent was to, you know, like make the monsters look strong heading into the match. Fraxium, like every appearance that they're in, and there haven't been so many recently, but every time they're on TV, they are spectacular. I guess I'm just a little bummed that they are in the predicted role that a cruiserweight team would be.
They are slotted at a, like, Los Garza or lower level. Yeah, and that's, I mean, you could argue of where the Machine Guns are versus Fraxium, but the answer is they're both nowhere. But
They're the top flight of WWE.
In some ways. Heyman just says that he doesn't need Cena's bitch announcer as he takes the mic from Mark Nash and declares Bronson and Braun the winners. The Usos appear on the screen. They're at the Gainbridge Fieldhouse, and they got a live satellite hookup in the last 10 minutes, so they're going to lock it down like 49er defense on Saturday in Indianapolis.
Lock it down like 49er defense.
I guess they're going to – their defense will be on point tomorrow. They're going to take a lot of damage.
Oh, so the 49ers are doing really well.
Well, their defense is.
But that's a San Francisco team, right? Isn't it?
Well, they're just – they're promoting or complimenting the 49ers defense.
But aren't they in Indianapolis?
But they're kind of they're from the Bay Area, so I guess
that okay. But the Indianapolis people weren't upset that they were promoting another team than their own?
No, they're not watching this.
This was broadcast in the arena.
In Toledo?
Oh, in Toledo. I guess they don't care. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, okay. Okay, never mind. I don't watch football.
That's okay. I assume they're 49er fans. That's all I took from this.
Support for this post-wrestling podcast comes from those of you who have picked up our merch over at Chopped Tees. T-shirts, hoodies, sweatshirts, and hats from post-wrestling and our network of shows, including the NWA Podcast, Poison Rana, The Long and Winding Royal Road, WrestleNomics, and MC Later. Free shipping to almost anywhere in the entire world. No minimum spend required. That's chopped-tees.com/post-wrestling.
Then we get step by step from Cody, the four ways to get your premium live event on the ESPN app.
So let's give them credit, okay? Well, like, I had wondered, because they did nothing on Monday, would we get at least one segment on Friday to sell it? We got four.
Okay? We got many.
We got two of those R-Truth segments, which really didn't do that great of a job, and then we got this Cody segment two times, yes.
Of all the ways he informed you of how you can get WrestlePalooza, he skipped out reason number five.
Surfshark VPN.
She should have been on the show to tell us.
Yeah, that that
I'm a YouTube TV subscriber because I don't want to sit through boring commercials, but I don't want to double dip for ESPN. I'm already paying $30 a month. You want me to pay $30 more? Surfshark VPN allows me to navigate those choppy waters and make it a WrestlePalooza you'll never regret.
Yeah. Honestly, if I was an American, I wouldn't be dealing with any of this bullshit. Much less like in light of, like, you know, the Disney company this past week. I cannot understand why anybody would want to go through all that and pay $30.
I was chatting with someone. They're in the US and just talking about this very topic and just telling them that, man, we've got it like pretty good here in Canada. It's like everything's on Netflix, and for AEW, I watch everything on Triller. Like it's a pretty good setup that we have compared to, like, I really do sympathize with, like, if you're one of those people that you get ESPN and you have to pay for this. I mean, it's just I'd be furious.
Ridiculous, dude. And that's why you might have move to Canada is all I should really say.
That's not personal. It's business.
Yeah.
Nia Jax comes out and she is the alpha female of the division and just mocks Tiffany's voice and had to give her a Tiffy timeout last week. That's why she couldn't appear at Homecoming. She puts over Jade looking incredible, but she wishes she could trade her in-ring ability with Nia. She looks fantastic until she has to get in the ring, because then I annihilate her. Tiffany makes her return. She says nobody wants to see Nia near this belt. I am the one and only. Maybe she'll take Ricochet's old theme. And there is nothing you can do about it. And the officials get in her way. Jade comes out to go after Jax and takes out security. And Nick Aldis comes out. And for the first time ever, Nick Aldis has a fully booked show. We can't do this right now. We can't even fit this onto WrestlePalooza. It's going to be next week in Orlando, the three-way match, which I assume was just up in the air about Tiffany's status.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, this is obviously a very good sign that, well, she did that moonsault last week and seemed to, like, bounce on her head on the, like, a bit of a recoil. So, concussion protocol, I believe, is the word, and this seems to indicate that she'll be fine for next week. So, I didn't think Nia's promo was very good. Like, she is
Debbie,
somebody who,
Debbie time.
She really is somebody who I think could benefit from, like, the Brock Lesnar treatment, in that, like, having her talk, I don't think does her any favors, but her physicality, I think, is great. So, like, I'd just keep it to her attacking and, like, these sort of promos.
They should have been really together in the mixed match challenge.
Brock and Nia. Yeah. Sure.
I couldn't believe we went back. Like, there is. If you were assigned R-Truth duty to be the ones being explained how to order this, you know where you are in the pecking order. And I was so sad to see Dragon Lee here after, like, we just talked about how this guy is like
Phoenix.
Oh, is this? Oh, this was Ray Phoenix. I was, I apologize.
Well, the same goes for Ray Phoenix. He had that great showcase with Sami Zayn last week.
Well, Zayn, I mean, only emphasizes my point forward. It tells you how focused I was here. But yes, and the Moser City Machine Guns as they go over the app instructions once again. Yeah, so there you go.
Yeah, essentially, if you're in the tag division, you're either like getting beaten up by the Wyatts, or you are trying to sell the ESPN app with R-Truth. That is the their place here. On this show.
Mm. Look at Shelly. I mean, you think he got this app as soon as he was told?
I think he's crossing the border to Windsor.
I assume he's a cord never. That would be my guess on Alex Shelly.
Cord never?
Yeah.
Okay. Right. I think Chris Sabin definitely has a VPN.
I think so too. Yeah. Sami Zayn and Carmelo Hayes, U.S. title. Miz will not get involved per the request of Carmelo Hayes. So certainly not to the degree of last week's, like, incredible match that Zayn just had with Phoenix. But Zayn hits him with punches in the corner, tornado DDT, and then a Michinoku driver for a two count. Hayes connects with a knee and goes for the frog splash, but Zayn gets the knees up. But his Haluva kick is cut off by a super kick, went through a pair of commercial breaks, and then after Hayes hit a leaping DDT onto the edge of the apron, he hits a frog splash for a two count, and Zayn is holding onto his wrist, prevents the first 48, and then Hayes blocks a Blue Thunder Bomb, hits the first 48, Zayn kicks out, and then Hayes lifts up Zayn into a cutter, reverse springboard DDT, then misses, nothing but net, and Zayn connects with the boot and wins with the Blue Thunder Bomb in 15 minutes and 9 seconds. A good match that they had. I did kind of like the idea of, like, changing things up a little when you win with your primary finish. I like when they every now and then win with something else. It just gives more meaning for near falls in the future.
Yeah, he's done this a few times.
He's won with this in the past, but it's not a go-to.
No, not yet. But I mean, the more he does it, the more he manages to build it up. And it's a great looking move. And I think audiences are recognizing it as a potential finish now when he starts using it. This was a great match, you know, like Zayn, his aim with all of these is to deliver a high level pay-per-view quality match on TV. And he's been very consistent. He's been able to do that 3 times now. Melo is able to show off what he can do, of course. But I think, like, my focus is on Zayn because he continues to build a reputation. If he keeps this up, as somebody you could point to as being the best wrestler in the company right now, at least most consistently, most active and you know, in terms of most consistent in terms of quality as well. That is the title that's previously held by somebody like Gunther, maybe Seth Rollins for a time. Those guys aren't so active lately. Sami Zayn is. This is his chance to really kind of, like, earn that title for this particular moment. And that is something that is going to directly lead him towards a world championship reign, which I ultimately see as the point of all of this. So Like these matches are becoming like one of the signature hooks for SmackDown. And, you know, they kind of fulfill the role that the tag team matches did during the 3-hour era, where these 3-hour shows were such a drag, but we could always look forward to like one hot tag team match in the middle. The tag teams are doing a whole lot right now. They're trying to get us to buy ESPN Unlimited.
Maybe Flair and Bliss can start doing an open challenge each week.
Imagine like a certain week where like, hey, we're waiting, who's gonna come out? And nobody comes out because there are just no teams.
Nick Aldis just comes out, moves on.
But it's like it's been something I'm looking forward to now, week after week on SmackDown. And in the body of a 2-hour show, like this hot 10-plus minute match suddenly feels like it's such a big part of the show, you know.
Aldis is meeting with Kit Wilson of Pretty Deadly, who starts ranting about toxic masculinity running through the WWE locker room and complaining. Damian Priest just steamrolls into the room. He wants Aleister Black and warns them that if I don't get him, you're going to see the Punisher. I hope he just morphs into, forget Punishment Martinez, I want him to be
Frank Castle.
Like, let's just go full on, you know. His family's been killed, and it's time for revenge.
Well, they're on ESPN now. It's part of the Disney family, okay? Marvel, it all works out, yes. I mean, you know, I don't know what this is really a tease of. You're going to see the Punisher? What exactly does that mean? You know, is he hinting towards, like, an actual, like, character evolution?
They're going to give something? Him a mask to merchandise of some sort.
Okay. Well, so, I hope to see it because I think he really needs it. What's up with this Kit Wilson?
Well, let's finish this. Wilson says this is the example of the hyper-masculinity, and this man is toxic. And Damian proceeds to throw him through a wall. So, like, my take was...
So is he the Punisher or is he the Hulk?
Well, I mean, he was... This drywall.
This is ridiculous. Yeah, they should question whoever constructed this building.
This is going to be our, like, whiny, annoying, far-left liberal that is just...
I thought we were done with this. Like, I thought that this left that died with you know, Vince McMahon leaving here. This sort of, like, airing of your grievances through your characters.
I think that's what this character is. I think that's what you're going to get here. It's just, you know, you're...
I feel this is Kit Wilson coming up with an idea to get himself on TV, and somebody, like, well, Levesque clearly felt like there was something here. Yeah, I don't know. So Elton Prince is out? What's going on?
I bet you this guy, he's going to his follow-up promo is going to be talking about taking money from autocratic governments.
Yeah, sure. I'll bet that's what we'll get. Maybe we'll get that on the ESPN Unlimited debut. Okay, so Elton Prince is out with an injury, according to Fightful.
The second part...
He can't come back soon enough.
Yeah, I mean, this is pretty nothing, this character, is what it feels like. Cena and Lesnar, part two of the video, Alpha, where Joe Tessitore quotes Ernest Hemingway. Courage is grace under pressure. Yeah, that summarizes John Cena, the Ernest Hemingway of this generation of WWE. And they show Cena's rise to worldwide stardom, and then Lesnar's move to MMA, which in the past they had to rely on those still photos. Not anymore. This was worth the merger. And we got full video of his UFC fights. And then
are we going to get similar treatment for the CM Punk, you know, whatever story? Like, we're going to get a full, like, they could air the whole fight. They could air the whole Mickey Gall thing.
As soon as Seth Rollins introduces the newest members of the Vision, Mickey Gall and Mike Jackson.
Yeah. Well, they're all part of the family now.
Yeah.
Would they be making some money off of this antitrust? Would CM Punk be making money? CM Punk would be making money too, wouldn't he?
Yeah, they would be. So Punk fought under the... He fought in the Cage and Johnson suit, which was after 2017, but the Mickey Gall fight, yeah, he only had one fight. So it's not like he would have got crazy money, but he would have got something.
Wait, one fight under that.
He had one under the what was the expert? It was like 2010 to the end of June 2017. So the Mickey Gall fight was in there. So
I wonder if he collected.
I'm almost positive he did. It was something like it was a ridiculously small percentage that did not claim their money. So, yeah. Anyway, they mentioned that Lesnar beat Randy Couture in his third fight. Now, I'll give this maybe his third UFC fight, but let's not omit Minsoo Kim from history, okay? This was his fourth fight, okay?
Legendary Minsoo Kim, yes, of course.
Nor did they mention a loss in there, but yeah, he just looked, he just came in, he just steamrolled everyone, and then he got bored of the UFC and came back to the WWE, attacking Cena in 2012. They showed highlights of the match at Extreme Rules, and then the destruction of John Cena at SummerSlam 2014. And in fact, we are getting a part three-way tomorrow on the ESPN app.
Right. Yes. So before 7 o'clock, right?
Yeah. This, I imagine, is on the WWE pre-show from five till seven. So, and this will have a new Lesnar interview that they showed a quick clip of, that he's here to fuck up Cena's retirement tour.
Okay. All right. These have been great. These have been very good.
They've been very good. They've been very good. This month on the Post Wrestling Cafe, we're going back to November of 1995 as Rewind Away takes a look at the Survivor Series featuring Diesel defending the WWF Championship against Bret Hart. We'll also have weekly editions of Collision Course with the carousel of co-hosts joining Kate from Montreal, reviews of TNA Victory Road, New Japan's Destruction in Kobe, and it is the Ask Away Mailbag Show as John and Way answer your questions all this month at postwrestlingcafe.com. MFT promo. Solo Sikoa, he's only got one loyal soldier left. He's putting all of he's putting everything on the shoulders of Tonga Loa, the son of Haku, the most dangerous man on the planet. That makes you dangerous, okay? And he owes it to him to get him a championship, and your loyalty will be rewarded as long as you're with me. And Tonga Loa, now playing the role of Jacob Fatu, says, "I love you, Solo." This is such an empty-looking group. Like, it's not even a group. It's like it's two dudes hanging out in a room.
Times are tough, man, for the MFTs. I mean, what happened to Tala Tonga?
Tama Tonga got hurt.
No, Tala.
Oh, Tala. Yeah, I have no idea what happened to Tala.
Okay.
Nothing. There was no explanation for this guy's decision. I have no idea.
Anyway, forget about him, okay? Tonight, the focus, the man of the hour is Tonga Loa, okay? The future, the tribal chief in wait here. The most loyal soldier, all right? This was the only type of spotlight we've ever had on Tonga Loa throughout this entire run. He has been the laughingstock of not just this stable, arguably this entire company in presentation. Something tells me I don't think this is going to last more than a week for a push for the man, but I'm on board for anything Tonga Loa from a very ironically sort of enjoyable perspective.
This burgeoning group went from my family tree to my friend Tonga.
It's really just a twig at this point.
That's it. And then the contract signing with Drew and Cody. Cody asks Drew, "Do you remember what happened 15 years ago today?" Crickets in this arena, and it looked like Drew didn't have a clue either. Cody informs him, "We won the tag titles." Huge day.
I mean, he did say, "Who was talking about that?"
No one.
Nobody.
Yeah.
So they're very self-aware.
Yeah. And then he mentioned that it's not everyone's prerogative to remember the lore of the Cody Drew 35-day title reign.
Oh, the lore of the dashing ones. Yes. Maybe this will make it to its five-part, you know, a video package at some point.
He says that lately the Scottish warrior has become the keyboard warrior. And he asks him, "Why don't you pull out your phone? Let's go viral. Make a post." And Drew types into his phone, "Thank you, Cody," because Cody is going to give him a legit shot at the title, and that's all Drew wanted. He says, "Cody, you don't seem to think for yourself anymore. What you think about is not what's best for you, but what's better for the company. What's best for the stock price? The sponsors. The sponsors. The engagement. You're the corporate champion. And instead of getting upset for me..."
So this is like a very true takedown of Cody. I mean, as we talked about on our, like, we knew this since AEW, right? Like, he he seems so like he wears the suits. Like, it just seems like his target is the corporate executive role that, you know, somebody like a Paul Levesque currently holds. On what is it? Fuck, I keep wanting to call it Unreal. Untold. On the
no,
board,
it's Unreal.
On the board in his bus, next to a photo of his daughter, he has a post-it note reminding him of the phrase, or just constantly reminding him of his market value or something to that extent. So he is definitely like...
In fairness, you did the same thing. Isn't that on your refrigerator?
Oh, yeah. Before my jiu-jitsu tournament, I thought, market value. What is my market value? This is entirely a man who thinks in Mark Shapiro terms. Yes.
A sidebar to all of this, your, I think, clever rebranding of Unreal to Untold. Seeing Seth Rollins in the media this week, I really look forward to that episode of Untold next year, of how this fooled everybody. Did you realize every person was fooled by Seth Rollins? That's a story I've been told this week by Seth Rollins.
And if they tell the lie enough, it's going to eventually end up becoming the truth.
Oh, it is. It is. Like, that is going to be your episode right there. So, of course, anyway, yeah. The Twilight Zone. Cody, so Drew's logic here is that I bashed your head in and took you off TV for 5 weeks. You should be here stomping my head in for revenge, but instead you're talking my head off because, you corporate shill, you don't want to jeopardize the main event of this big show for the company, and says that eventually this crowd will turn on you. They'll find a new flavor of the month, and then you're going to be in my position because I was in yours 5 years ago, and you will know that Drew was right. Cody then comes back, and all he has to respond is calling Drew, you content creator, and says that your legacy is going to be the guy that lost on the first PLE on ESPN, the enhanced app that most carriers already have that you just have to authenticate. Dude, really, this guy sounded like a goddamn shill throughout this promo. I think Drew hit the nail on the head, and then he had to sell this as like, oh God, yeah, the loss of
Drew told us to get it on, get a VPN and watch on Netflix.
Man, this guy will be the wrestling embodiment of our favorite president, Mark Shapiro. Both signed the contract, and then Drew nails him with a Glasgow kiss. He goes for another Claymore against the desk, but thinks twice because he doesn't want to screw up this match. So he, too, has corporate interests in this. And Cody ends up fighting back with a suicide dive. They fight on the floor. Cole does refer to this as the main event of WrestlePalooza, and then boots Cody in the head. And I swear to God, Cody Rhodes is left laying on the floor in front of the ring in the exact same position that Hangman Page was on Wednesday. Exact same.
I didn't really pay attention. What position?
I mean, they were just both laid in front of the same spot of the ring at the end of the show, where Kyle Fletcher had taken him out with the brainbuster to the floor.
Okay, are we supposed to look any deeper into that?
Oh, this is for the crossover that's going to happen. Yeah. Anyway,
they've gone too far. Taking the time slot, forget about it, okay?
We're going to redo your angles.
Selling on the same spot to close the go-home show.
This is a war. This is a war, okay? They're ruthless.
I thought, like, this go-home segment for this, I mean, they needed to do a lot of heavy lifting because, you know, we didn't know Cody would be available for this until last week, and then they had to do a big rush. No five-parter, like, video package thing to sell this. We just had to do it in one segment, and I thought they were on to something. Like, I thought they were getting to some depth with the content of the promos by Cody calling him a content creator, which I kind of love as an attack. But Drew, more so, Drew teasing the audience turning onto Cody, like, you know, which are flames that haven't really been fanned since like around WrestleMania. But then it just kind of came to like a quick close as if they were trying to hit, you know, their time, and we didn't really get that much depth. So I can see this program continuing because I think there's a lot more material to be told.
I love the idea of Drew winning this title and Cody's immense guilt that he dropped the ball on the first ESPN PLE to start off this $1.6 billion deal.
You actually think that'll happen? That could happen? You think Drew might actually, there might be a chance of a title change?
There's always a possibility of it. I'm not expecting it, but
I don't see it. I don't see it myself.
Do you see this closing the show? I mean,
well, if they said so, then
they
yeah,
said,
sure.
They said main event, but so did Joe Tessitore on Monday. So, I mean, it's... Yeah.
I think AJ, Punk, and Becky and Seth is the hottest match, most anticipated match even, you know, on the show. But, I mean, once people are in, they're in. You know, they could end with either one.
Okay. We are going to get to your feedback and questions and a surprise game that I am going to put waiting
what?
For. Okay, yes.
You never told me about this?
I haven't told them about this. This is we're going to do a bit of a... Bit of a game. We're going to get some answers out of Wei Ting on the other
games.
Side. But that right. is for everyone on the XL portion of Rewind to SmackDown. If you want to get in on all of the fun each and every week, postwrestlingcafe.com. It's very easy to sign up. I think maybe you and I are going to have to do a new video going through the four different ways of how you can sign up for the Post Wrestling Cafe. $6 a month.
Gets no, you don't tell them the price. That's not how you sell a subscription service, John. You let
if
them
if you have
themselves.
Patreon on your internet,
yeah.
you're already there. You've yeah. already got it. You yeah. just have to log in and poof, the yeah. Post Wrestling Cafe is there for you as well. So we will be back on Sunday for reviews of WrestlePalooza and All Out. And now we move on.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.